subject. It's not controversial to me, but it strangely is in the body of Christ. And that is, are we married to Jesus or not? But before we start, I do want to share. Does this sound all right to you? Maybe I'm just used to different microphones. Huh? It's too loud. All right, well, your husband, you know how to talk to him. Yeah, he will. It just seems like it has an echo in it. But I've been on so many different microphones. I've only spoke once in the last 7 weeks here, and that was a month ago, and I've missed doing it. I appreciate all that this body has done the last 2 months, whether in your own life or supporting what goes on here, even if sometimes maybe you don't see the whole, see it day to day. The fall is always such a busy season for me in terms of going out. Everybody wants to do their conferences in the fall. So I'm anxious to be in a normal setting. It's been a great 2 months, but it's been extremely busy. I only got one topic, only one conference to go to in South Georgia in January, so I'll be here till then. And then every year in February, I have to go to D.C. for my work. That's the only thing scheduled for. That's the only thing scheduled. Other things will be scheduled as we go along. But I appreciate the serving of this church. You know, very few churches will allow their pastor to be gone for 7 weeks. And but that's one way we serve. Now, I was here last week, obviously, Northwest. That was a serving thing. That is a dream of Michael Watkins. Really wasn't a dream, but it was prophesied over him, and it became a dream to record their own music, and they didn't have the ability to do it, didn't know how to get started. Been very, very expensive to do all that in a studio, and they wanted to do it live. And Alexis and Stevie were the keys that made that work. So thank you guys for doing that, and all the hard work. There's a lot of work behind the scenes. They just didn't come in and play. Getting the air in their monitors, getting it, the board mixed, and they walked away with an SD card that they could take to a producer, and it's on them. So that's a way of serving them. And then we went and served the community. This is all in the last 2 months with Lance Johnson. And I don't know how many of you went to there, but that was appreciated going there and serving them. You heard a couple weeks ago a good report about the DR trip. I came back and got a burning sore throat. It's just really weird. For 2 weeks, a burning sore throat. Couldn't get rid of it until I took antibiotics and steroids. No cough, no nothing else. And so, but I listened to it. It was great what Max shared. I'm trying to think everybody that shared. John, seems like I'm missing somebody, but whoever it was. And so it was Hillary. And so it was a great trip. You didn't really hear a report about Chad and I being gone for almost 2 weeks to Eastern Europe. Went through 4 countries in 12 days, 7 flights, 6 hotels. That was a little hectic. But we did a lot, man. We sowed a lot of seeds, came back with seeds. That was on an assignment. Two stories that really, three things. Were two. So that was good. Chad and I spoke to the leaders of a Bulgarian church there. It's very good. Over that week, I had 15 very specific words over people. That was fun to give. But two things really came out of my mind. We went to a gypsy church out in a village. It's a very nice building, air-conditioned, about 120 people. And it was a village. It was a dirt road to get there. We went in, and they were just big time into praise and worship. And I know I've shared this story maybe with, I don't know who I've shared it with, but most of you probably haven't heard it. Anyway, there was quite a good few prophetic words. But so these are the, and I'll give it to you, but these are the seeds that we were going with energizing these people. The leadership retreat was great. Chad spoke great, had prophetic words over 3 or 4 of their leaders. They were not just God loves you. Those are important, but very strategic. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to move, that they will affect the rest of their lives if they follow that. But at this gypsy church, the Lord's used us a lot to birth and to set forth worship all over the place. Individual worship leaders, usually the words I have over people is for songwriting, and there was one of them. for a young boy that was there. He was sitting on the back row. And as soon as I prophesied over him, it's time to write your own songs, the congregation starts clapping. So evidently, they knew the word. He's just needed some encouragement. And so, but usually over songwriting or intimacy. But this one at this gypsy church was wild. During the service, I just saw the shaft of light come down, straight down, on top of the worship leader. And it was just like, you know, it was in my spirit. Maybe, I don't know. It's hard to tell sometimes. But it was just this big shaft of light come down on him. Almost like, have you ever seen somebody beamed up in Star Trek? It was like that, but it was the opposite, okay? And I just saw these shadows just disappear in all directions. And the Lord said, those are demonic spirits, and there are no demons in this building or in this village at the moment. And that turned into a worship, a word of encouragement over the worship leader. And I went up to him at the appropriate time, and I said, because I've never had this word over worship teams, I said, the anointing on your team, the major primary anointing, ours is intimacy, everybody's got some is evangelistic, it's all, your major primary anointing is deliverance. And you just start telling people in your village, if you're depressed, discouraged, addicted, alcoholic, whatever, however you're afflicted, just come into the building. You're not even going to have to lay hands on them. But your worship is going to start freeing people in that place. And that was so good. And found out later, he is, if I remembered him correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I heard correctly, his daughter was having a rehearsal dinner that night. But he felt this, because I had this word over the worship, but the worship leader, so normally you'd go to, that's a pretty big deal. But the worship leader, the Holy Spirit just said, you need to be here. And so as soon as the worship was over, he left. And so that just shows, man, the Lord just, he just honors people and honors things. Another thing that was a cool story that was out of the ordinary. The rest of it was great. It was good preaching, good messages. But out of the ordinary, we went to Romania to get some insight on maybe how to create jobs for the poor people in Dominican Republic. He was doing that with the poor people in Romania, been doing it for 30 years, and we learned a lot. We learned a lot what not to do, what to do, learned it's probably going to be a much harder job than what we thought. But it was all good. Well, he's out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's this gypsy village. And in Romania, I mean, it's Chatsworth is a metropolis, okay? You know, it's just a little Crandall. It's maybe the size of Rocky Face, I don't know. You know, but it's all poor people. And so he is, he's part of this group that has interns coming out of America, after actually Washington, D.C., young male men. And for a year, they will intern 2 to 3 weeks at different places all over the world. So it's sort of whatever you call that. We get there, it's next to the last night of their 3 weeks with this ministry. So I don't know the person that's running this ministry. I don't know. I knew he was a Christian, but I didn't know anything about his background. Didn't know if he was spirit-filled, believed in the gifts or not. So, and that's not why we're there, but we're on your best behavior. Well, one of these young men sitting across from me, it's crazy, though. I had words over all three of those men before the time was over with. One of them is in Romania, and he lives and went to church on at a church on Signal Hill, Chattanooga. Signal Mountain, Chattanooga. So isn't that, what a wild world. He even mentioned it. It's the big, I won't say because we're recording, big denominational church up there. And so you end up ministering to somebody who's just up the road, 6,000 miles away. It's crazy how the Lord works. But this one guy, it wasn't the guy from Tennessee, but this guy, somehow or another we got on apostles, and the guy opposite me starts rolling his eyes back. Okay, I've been there. I've been that person. I've seen it. And I'm like, the devil doesn't like what we're talking about. Now, these guys are not spirit-filled. They don't even know this thing. He doesn't even really quite know what's going on. But he starts, his eyes start closing, he starts rolling back. And then he all of a sudden gets a great pain in his head and he has to leave. And I'm like, okay, he needs to hear this. This is probably his destiny. But I don't know if the guy that is over this ministry even believes in deliverance. So I didn't say anything. And so, make a long story short, he goes, I need to go get this guy, brings him back. He is a full-blown, spirit-filled charismaniac. He personally knows Heidi Baker. He personally knows and has eaten dinner with Randy and John Arnott, if you know them, the Toronto Blessing. I mean, he was just naming these people. I'm like, he goes, do you know them? I have listened to them on YouTube, okay? That's how much I know them. And he's eating dinner with them, his friends with them. And so it's fascinating. Anyway, in a very sly, non-partisan way, we start praying for this guy, didn't we? And anyway, he gets fully delivered. He's crying and sobbing. And he goes, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. And then if you've ever been in those kind of deliverance sessions, you just all of a sudden fall out because you're so tired. And he falls out because he's so tired. And the next morning, I get to spend about 20 minutes with him. And he goes, what happened? I said, exact, to the T. The same manifestations, the same reaction happened to me when I was 24. And so I know his grid. It's going to take him years to figure it out. Well, he's doing things faster now. But it set him on a course. And then that minister there said, I'll follow up and spend more time with him. So isn't that wild? And so thank you for allowing us and other people to go and supporting with the finances, because these are very expensive trips, but it's good seed that's helping literally to change around the world. Do you want to add anything on the Europe or any? Before I go on, I can get a microphone. Because I know you hadn't had a chance to share. Hold on. And you can take your time. I don't have another meeting until January.
Our pastor here, you know, that's one of the things that struck me the most. 25 years of working over there. We stand up here and talk about it all day long, but it's like truly remarkable the impact that our church has had through Craig over there. Because one of the things that Craig and I talked about with my joining him on the trip is, you know, the work we're doing in Dominican Republic is this big. You know, it's just starting. Craig says, hey, why don't you come see what something looks like 25 years into walking on a path with somebody? It's incredible. I mean, again, I could stand up here for hours and talk about it, but, you know, their church is just vibrant, healthy, like grounded. You know, they got mature leaders, and it all started 25 years ago with, you know, two dudes sharing a bed in Kenya that loved the Lord. And just, you know, said they'll serve him. So anyway,
yeah, that's the truth, unfortunately.
It is pretty remarkable. So we hear from him. You're hearing it from me too. It's just what a investment, what a blessing, what a encouragement. The experience in Romania, it was truly remarkable to me. You know, there's what the Lord has put on my heart is, okay, we're working in Dominican Republic with people in poverty. That has to break. You know what I mean? That whole poverty mindset has to break. We know this. But it's incredibly difficult because you're not part of the culture. You know, you're not there every day. So how does this work? And this guy, Lee Seville, was a wealthy attorney in England, had an encounter with the Lord. He was seeing kids crawling out of holes in this dream that he kept getting. You know, I think this was even before he was saved. He kept seeing these little kids climbing out of these holes, these dark holes. Somehow or another, he gets saved, ends up in Romania. This is a fairly short, expansive time. And he's in this little city in Romania, Arad, I guess it's called. And literally, he's walking through the city, and there's these little gypsy kids crawling out of these holes in the ground where the sewer pipes are, because that's the only place they can keep warm. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, so he's been over there for 30 years because he had a powerful encounter with the Lord, you know, sold his law firm, never looked back. He's just over there, like, started out trying to feed these kids and keep them warm. And then that turned into, like, a men's shelter, then a woman's shelter. And 30 years later, they're in this little community. And let me back up. He started these this little micro business over there selling, you know, handmade handbags and a few other things. And that's probably been going on for 15 years, okay? And so we're over there trying to learn, like, how do you lift people out of poverty? I didn't know what we were going to find out. This was a friend of a friend. Ended up being Heidi Baker's buddy, apparently, and just an extremely awesome guy. But over that 30 years, that little business put several million dollars through the economy of that town. And you can see the before and after pictures of dirt roads, you know, no indoor plumbing, no indoor water, just garbage everywhere. 15 years later, several million dollars of work later, people appreciating the value of work, teaching it to their kids. Everybody's house is painted. They got indoor plumbing. There's no more trash. I mean, even the people that aren't saved, their yard's clean. And it was amazing. It really was amazing. One thing Craig said, it's not easy. Guy's been over there for 30 years, loving those people, trying to get them to show up to work on time. You know, I mean, if you've never had a job, we don't even have a grid for this, but if you've never worked a day in your life for a paycheck, and all of a sudden you got to show up to the same place 5 days a week at 8 a.m, that's hard. They're not going to do it, you know, and you got to be prepared for that. You know, in America, it's like, you don't show up, you're fired. Well, that doesn't really help change the culture. It doesn't show the love of Jesus. You're missing the point with that kind of stuff. So anyway, I could go on and on with that kind of revelation, but just suffice it to say that it was extremely valuable experience to be able to kind of see what's happened over there, pray about it, think about it, and hopefully God will direct us on how to apply it to the work we're doing in the DR. So anyway, thank you. Yeah, I guess I didn't get to talk about that, did I? So we, fifth trip over there for me. Again, Craig's been over there for, I don't know, a long time. Working with Ramon for 5 years, probably more than me. But this time was very, we say this every time, so it sounds a little rote, but it really was the best experience for me. Not for me personally. I mean, I think it probably was that too, but seeing how everybody's coming together as a ministry team, it is much more kind of relaxed. The people are used to seeing our faces, so they're more relaxed. I think, you know, the trust is coming. It's just so much positive kingdom work, and you can see it. It's like right there in front of you, you know, and it's really a blessing to be a part of. I have no idea where it all ends up, but, you know, God's faithful. And what I tell myself these days, I've only been there for 5 years, 30 years. It takes 30 years. We're just getting started. So anyway, thank you all for the privilege to get to go over there.
Amen. So a lot in 2 months. It's going to take a long time to unpack it, figure out how to apply it, where it goes from here. And any of you guys that are interested in trips like that, just let me know, and hopefully we can make something work out. So there's this metaphor, and are we married to Jesus? I've never taken a survey, but I would imagine if you went around this community, this church community, almost all of them would say no. So I want to start talking about it tonight. We won't finish it tonight. It may take 2 or 3 weeks. Because I want to delve into this. Because this is important for the calling on this church. And it's an extension of the calling on myself. And that calling is twofold. It's intimacy with the Trinity. Obviously, I'll speak on many different subjects over time. I mean, there's 52 weeks in a year. But the subject of intimacy with the Trinity is a big deal, and it's really my life calling for the rest of my life. So I'm learning as we go along. I've got a lot to learn because I can't teach what I don't have. And then the second calling, and that's all that permeates my teaching, is finishing well. Intimacy and finishing well. And so I'm on this journey, and we're on this journey together, of being able to hear from the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and one night or even several nights, we're not going to be able to get to that. But over time, I want to talk about, okay, this is how you walk with Holy Spirit. This is how you walk with Jesus. This is how you walk with the Father. My major calling is walking with the Holy Spirit simply because that's who's inside of us and who does the most of the speaking. And He truly is that second song that Max said, bringing glory. You know, He's saying, bring your glory to the temple. If we understand that song, it is a very powerful song. If we sing it with a traditional mindset, it's pretty much rubbish. And the traditional mindset is typically this. We think of a building like this as the temple. God is done with building buildings. The last one, you know, there's all this talk about the third Jewish temple. I don't know if there's going to be one built or not. That's not my wheelhouse. I don't care one way or the other. But I can tell you, Christianity, He very clearly said in 70 AD what I think about temples. And that's when the Roman government came in and tore it down. That's where Jesus said, there's coming he prophesied, said one stone will not be on top of another stone of this building temple, which was amazing. This was an amazing structure. Go look at pictures. Go Google it. Or go. Maybe we need to start saying ChatGPT it now, or Claude it or something. He very clearly said, I am done with buildings. I am going to fulfill what I told Abraham, a city made by God. And as we understand that song, and we do, that His glory is going to fill the temple. The temple is us. It's you. That's the only building He cares about. Every other building is a practical convenience because we need it to not get rained on. Most of our living rooms aren't big enough to meet in like they were for the first 200 or 300 years. And so when you understand that verse, it's powerful. His glory is going to fill you. You are the temple. We're all living stones, and He puts those things together. And the church, I think, probably understands this with our heads. When I say the church, the capital C in America. I'm not sure we really understand it in our hearts. Just because of my calling, I listen to a lot of things about the church. I try to keep up, try to learn different things, try to pay it, and just sort of keep my finger because that's just sort of what I do. Almost all of the talk about the church is how do we improve our methods to chase after men. Method could be anything, programs, whatever. How do we, that could be, there's all this talk on improving the building and is our kids program this or that. And we want it to be excellent. I get that. I'm not putting them down. But then it just hit me one day. The church is chasing after methods as if it's the new shiny object. Every 2 or 3 years, there's a new shiny object. And when I looked at Jesus in the Gospels, He never, that I could find, talked about methods. He didn't chase after the shiny objects of methods to get men. He just chased after men. And whenever men showed up, / women, / kids, whenever people showed up, He pushed themselves into their lives. He said, I want to make a difference in their lives. Whether it's freedom, that third song, whether it's teaching, whether it's marriage, whether it's relationships. Jesus didn't chase after the new shiny objects of methods or the external temple. He just chased after men and said, how can I change this corner of the world. The Lord has dealt with me so hard, because in this, every one of us is to change our corner of the world. It's built into us. Ecclesiastes 3:11, eternity reigns in the hearts of everyone. It has put something in us to change our world. But we have so mixed it up and gone in the wrong direction. What method? What does it look like on the external? I think what he's saying is, to change your corner of the world, just get around men. When I say men, I mean mankind. Get around mankind. How can you bring me, the shiny object, into their lives? Don't let the shiny object be the next church big thing or next whatever. Let the shiny object point to the shining one, which is Jesus Christ. And so that's why this message on marriage, or being married to Him, is such a big deal, because if we're married to Him as opposed to not marrying to Him, and it's going to take a little while to unwrap all this, but that's fine. We're all willing to be taught here. What it's really talking about, what is this? What is the shiny object? Is it our new external temple? Or is it Jesus that we can actually get to know on the inside? Chad and I, to get over to Eastern Europe, it's not easy to get there. There's no American airlines that go to Eastern Europe. You have to make changes. There's definitely no direct flights. And we did a stopover in Dublin, Ireland. And while I was there, I was prompted by the Lord. We were just going through some souvenir shops to kill time. I was prompted by the Lord to, have you ever seen the Trinity knot? I should have put a picture up on it. Sometimes it's called the Celtic knot. But it originated in Ireland with the Celtic people. And so I am not one for jewelry. I wear this little wedding band. It's not even a wedding band. It's just a ring. It's the thinnest titanium little metal thing I could find. It's $12. Now I've got, because I'm not into jewelry, I wear a watch because time is such a big part of my life, not to look good. Now I've got a wedding band that's probably, I didn't pay for it this. This is 30 years ago. I bought it as a second one because I got fat and couldn't wear the original one. If you bought it today, it's gold with five diamonds in it. It probably would cost thousands of dollars easily with the price of gold and five real diamonds in it, you know, that are embedded in it. So, I mean, it's not $12 versus I don't know how much it is, thousands. And just because I'm not into jewelry. So I'm in Dublin, Ireland, and the Lord, I come across this, well, He put the idea in my heart. He said, look for a ring, see if you can find a ring that has the Trinity knot in it. And I'm like, I don't wear rings. I don't jewelry. Now, it was optional. He didn't demand it. So, actually, I was looking for one, and Chad goes, there's some rings over there. So I went over there and found one. You could look it up. You could go chat GPT, what a Trinity, but it's little Trinity knots that are offsetting. And the Lord said, get this as a reminder that this is your call on your life. To help people. There you go. There it is. Come up here and show everybody. I forgot you had that on there. What a Trinity knot looks. See, you're supposed to be in covenant with me. But anyway, there's little tiny ones all the way around the ring. And the Lord said, do that. So every time you see this, it's a reminder that's your primary calling, is to introduce people to the Trinity and help them to get to know them easier. And I want to just take sort of a side route here. This is why we won't get through this whole lesson tonight, but y'all love me, right? This is the way it is. And so, that probably doesn't make sense. So anyway, so I got that, and that's that calling on my life, is to help people understand the Trinity. When I look back, I'm 65. I started following the Lord diligently at 13. So we're talking over 50 years. I look back and I go, what is the one thing, the number one thing that has enabled me to so far, it's a day-to-day thing. We make a decision all the time to finish well. We're not talking perfect by any means. But to still hear, I haven't been in any scandals that I know of. We just keep doing what I'm doing. It's this. It's the ability in times of trials. It's the ability when it seems like everybody has abandoned you. It's an ability of you have no idea what's going on, like we were talking about at the prayer at 5:30. Is in the end being able to hear Holy Spirit, usually the Holy Spirit, and know what to do next. So I think the number one gift or number one skill, not a gift, that Christians need is the ability to hear the voice of God. People hear Him differently. A lot of people have dreams. And I want to teach on that in the future. That's very soon. Dream basics. I'm not a big dreamer. But He has taught me a lot about different aspects of dreams. And He's taught me a lot about myself with soul dreams and different things. You know, what is this? And so, but whether it's dreams, whether it's a voice, whether it's usually almost always voices. You know, a still small voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I know some of you have. And that's cool, but that is rare. That's the number one gift, or the number one skill, is to hear His voice. Now, when we talk about marriage, this is something that 10, 15, well, probably longer than that, sometime in the past, I would have never talked about. It was too intimate. If we're a church of intimacy, relationship church, live close when you see it come in, this idea of the marriage, being married to Jesus, and I'm going to define that over time, we have to go there. It's a requirement, or we will be limited in how intimate we can be with the Father. What's the most intimate relationship on earth? Of course, it's marriage. Sometimes it turns into hell, but it shouldn't be, you know. It has the most potential, and it does. Intimate, and because I know some people, they get divorced and they have bad memories. Go, I never want to go there again. Well, that wasn't the Lord's will, and that's a whole other subject. But it's marriage. But many years ago, whatever that is, I would have never talked about that. Because I was not in a place emotionally healthy enough. Some of you may be saying you're still not there. But I was not in a place emotionally healthy enough to even entertain this idea of, am I married to Jesus? Because there's so many weird conceptions there. And so, we're not going to get weird. You're not going to have to wear a wedding dress and all that stuff. But this does show the metaphor, out of all the metaphors of our walking with the Lord, that's going to be forever. He calls us soldiers. That's very different. He calls us farmers. He calls us servants. He calls us living stones. We already talked about that. That's living stone means you're a block in the temple. So you can tell somebody's being stubborn. Stop being a hard block. But this marriage is one that is ended up with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And as a male growing up in a southern white culture of rebel flags and Confederacy and guns and hunting and fishing. Although I didn't do much. I went on it a lot. My brothers were into it more than I was. But you get the point. And this idea, so it took a long time for the Lord to start working on me. Because as men and women generally, men, we tend to not show our emotions and even talk to push down our emotions. And something the Lord, and this is a long time. We're talking years, okay? We're not talking 1 week here. The Lord started showing me, your soul, I live inside of you, and I want you to have a whole soul, which is, at a minimum, most theologians believe, mind, your emotions, your will, your ability to remember the past, and your ability to believe for the future, memories and future. So at least five things. Almost all theologians agree on that. Many people will add other things, but we can go with that. And he said, if you want to have a whole soul, I was raised, and it was a good one, get your doctrine right, get your beliefs right, get your word right. I mean, I was listening to and reading and everything as a teenager. I would say tapes, but they were reel-to-reels back then. I mean, if you remember those. Oh, the new reel-to-reel came in, this big old box. We have it made with YouTube, man. You subscribe to 48 people in 30 seconds. And so that was getting my mind lined up with the Word, knowing right from wrong. And he just started showing me this. And this is where most men are at. He says, your emotions are almost non-existent. And your emotions are almost, they're down there, but who can find them except for me? And this wasn't a conscious decision. A lot of it's just the way we're raised. And he said, if you want to be a whole soul, S-O-U-L, you have to see that I want to make your emotions whole and right like your mind. Because you cannot appreciate verses like, look at the beauty of the Lord. Beauty is emotional. I mean, you could make some mental game with it. Oh, the white pixels match out with the blue pixels perfectly, and the brightness of the light is just right. But that sort of kills the whole thing, doesn't it? And he says, there's so much more of me I want to reveal to you, but you have to see the emotional side of me. Typically, I mean, this is my observation, I can't prove it biblically, that when he divided Eve from Adam, there was a split of all that Adam was. Because the scripture says, he created his image, male and female, he created them. And then there was a split, part of it went to the women, part of it stayed with the men. And the women got the beauty, they got much more well-developed emotions. They got the people part of it. Men got the project part, the power part, part to multiply and take dominion. But you know, taking dominion and multiplying without beauty that comes along with it is just not as satisfying. And so this, I could talk a long time. This has taken many, many years, probably a decade or more. How do you get your emotions? Because we were told that if you hide your emotions and don't show them, that makes you a better man. Actually, we've been lied to. This is actually a sign of weakness. And believe me, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to free us up and take you on a journey I've been to. We've been taught to bury it instead of reveal it. Now, we're never as men going to be as strong emotionally that way as women, or as easy emotionally. But we're never going to see Jesus in the fullness of His glory if we just stick to half our souls. Why do you say it's a weakness? Because listen to me, we will not face them. That means they dominate us. That means they rule us. That means they decide what is right and what is wrong. And the Lord is on a journey, and each person is different in what's buried. And this goes for women too. I've seen some women just as much bury them as men do because of abuse or trauma. He wants us to be free and not scared of anything. Men typically, man, I'm going deep today, aren't I? Did you bring your steel-toed shoes? Men are scared to death of losing control and losing their control of their emotions. I'm talking generally, maybe not every person in this room. So what does that say? In those areas, the Holy Spirit is not your God. Your soul is. And so He wants us to get us free, as He wants us to get us free in our right thinking. He wants us to get us free in our right emotions. And we're so scared of being embarrassed. He doesn't embarrass us, but He wants us to first be free from anything that's not Him, and then second, to see Him in His fullness, which we can't do if we're only seeing Him with half our souls. Several years ago, some of you have been around here a long time, heard me share this shift, and it's all part of this. It's all part of this journey. It wasn't a singular event, there's little things. I mean, for decades I've gotten words over people. Hopefully they've gotten better and more often as time has gone. You know, words of prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And probably, I don't know, I lose track of time. It's one thing. They say it's a result of getting old. It's not. It's a result of being busy. When you're busy, you forget. You lose track of time. Sometime, probably 7-8 years ago, there was a shift, and it's been growing, where I don't get words over people anymore when I walk up to them. The Lord goes, go and pray. I've got a word of prophecy, a word of knowledge. I get up, and I have nothing. And then all of a sudden, I feel God's emotions towards them. How many of you have ever experienced this? That only happened after I started saying, free my soul, make it whole. Now it's pretty normal and I know what to do, but it was crazy for a long time. It's like, what? This isn't a word. But I could feel His compassion over them. I've had it several times. I've had it twice in the last 3 weeks. His anger over people. Some of you have been on some of those words with me twice in the last 3 weeks. I'll give you the generic one. And this wasn't at this church. I went up to one person, and it was at another church, and the Lord was angry with them. Righteous saying, this is not fun, but it does show me a side of God that I would have never known or been able to process. So I went up to this person, I'll be real generic, and I just said, it's time. And he got his attention to look up. I said, the Lord's been talking. The Lord finally helped me put it into words, but I could feel the energy on it. And I said, the Lord says He's done. It's time. You decide tonight to follow me or you stop pretending. This happened about 2 weeks ago at another church. I said, His patience is over with. That's a heavy word. It wasn't fun to give, but it does allow. But we're not in this for fun. We're in this to be messengers, to help free people. That person looked at me like, I can't believe you just said that. And then they burst into tears. This was a man. One of those big macho type men, at least on the outside. And he just starts crying and he goes, you're so right. And he repents on the spot. And he goes, what do I need to do? I said, I could feel the Lord on. I said, I'm not giving you the words. You're in this mess. You pray right now how to get out of it. You repent. You say, I'm sorry. You do whatever you need to do. And for the next 10 minutes, he's just mumbling under his breath and crying. And so, but that's an example of the Lord giving a fuller ministry because we're able to see His emotion. Now, there's been other times I felt tremendous love and compassion and purpose over this people. And I go, okay, Lord, what do I do with that? Sometimes He just says, I just wanted you to know how I felt about them. Felt. He uses that word. Men don't like that word. We want to use the word think. Women are real good with felt, maybe not quite as much with think. And so, as you allow Him, I guess it's time to end. We didn't even get into the married part. We got next week. But as we move into this, realize He is after intimacy with us. And yes, the question is, we are married to Him. And we'll define that in the weeks going ahead. Because the definition's a little different than how we talk about it here in America. But He's doing this not just to give us I want to know your emotions. He's doing this so we could see Him in all of His beauty. I'll pick on the men some more because I'm a man, so I can do that. When you were at your wedding and you saw your wife coming down the aisle, was it an intellectual, analytical thing? You get the point. And see, that's how He wanted, not in a weird sexual way, don't get weird on me, but that's how, I've heard all the arguments, that's why I say that. I tend to try to cut them off at the beginning. That's why. Think about, would we like to have a relationship with Jesus that way? Where it's more than just an intellectual decision. This one, Psalm says, this one thing I desire, to see the beauty didn't say the characteristics, the beauty of the Lord. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure what that means. I've still got a long ways to go. I'm not even sure what the beauty of the Lord means. I ask him a lot. What does it mean to be beautiful? Let's stand.
You going to pick on the women next week?
The fireball over here. I spent too long and spent a whole week in Dominican Republic. We call you Fuego, the fire of God there. That's your nickname. Let me do this before we close in prayer. Is there any comments or questions or confusion? We don't record this part. I mean, we might record it, but it doesn't go up on the internet.